I'm just going to call this message today, there is more than one pandemic. There's much more than one pandemic, and don't you believe there's been only one, and that's COVID-19, because it's created a bunch of stuff. I was at, I believe it was CVS, and was talking to a young man there. He's been working there for quite a while. And so he says to me, well, he says, you're not going to see me the next time you come in. And I said, oh, no, where are you going? He's such a just such a friendly kid, and, you know, he's always very helpful and kind. And I said, oh, no, what are you doing? I thought maybe he was moving up or promotion or something. And he said, no, I'm on my way to Montana. He said, I am through with California. And he said, and I'm through with this mask. And he said, a lot of people come in now because of the vaccinations, and they don't have to wear them. We can't tell them that. But so a lot of people don't know whether they need to or not. We still have the sign on the door. But he said, I can't take it anymore. He said, I just can't. I don't like working with this mask. And I was at Macy's the other day, and the lady waiting there, she said, I am so through with this. I just want to turn the page. And you know what I was hearing? These people are weary. I mean, people have just grown weary and tired of the whole mess. And the media and the voices and everywhere you go. I mean, you can't even go into a department store or a pharmacy without somebody talking about something that has to do with where we've been last year. And it's continued into this year. And so with all of that weariness and all this stuff in our faces every single day, I thought of those people. And he said, my mom, and I said, you still live at home? He said, yeah. He said, my mom and dad's going too. He said, I'm going to go there and I'm going to live with my grandparents, and they're getting them a home. He said, they're not going to pay these high taxes. We're tired of the taxes in California. And I thought, honey, they haven't even gotten started yet. So we better build up an immune system, church. But see, the thing I found out about you and me is we already have one. It's already built in, and I watched so many of you use it. It hasn't really influenced you one way or the other, what's been happening. Do we like it? No. Have we learned to live with it? No, we're never going to learn to live with it. We don't like it any more than they do. But we just have this survival guide and this kit of the Lord Jesus and his blood, and everything that he has is on the inside of us, which causes us to rise above the storm. We rise above it. And when you look at these people and we don't see a lot happening to help California or to help us, you know, with the governors and the president and all they're doing, and we look at it, we think everything's getting worse. And then every now and then you look at it, 2021, and it just kind of seems like we're on cruise control. Everything's just going along. I mean, it's going along, period. Kids are back in school a little bit. We're in church a little bit. Took our mask off a little bit. Till you go to Walmart or Target or, you know, so it's just cruising. We're just kind of cruising along. And when the lady said to me at Macy's, when she said, I just want to turn the page, I thought, sweetheart, I wonder if you have read the page yet. You know, there's some pages we need to read, and maybe that's why God's saying, I haven't turned this page yet. And by the way, folks, you know what? He's the only one that can turn that page. And we need to be comforted with the fact that he will turn it when he's ready to turn it. Not before and not after. And when you look at the darkness and you look at the foolishness, I mean literal foolishness, that we see and hear from professional people and in politics and government, you think, I wonder if God's going to say, okay, I will turn the page after these people have seen enough foolishness that they might want real wisdom. they might decide, hey, the truth is better than these lies. To have some wise intelligence is better than this foolishness. In all of this darkness that's on the face of the earth, and it's being created, by the way, it just seems like some folks create the darkness as they go. Every day, something crazier comes on the news. And you think, God, will you turn the page after they've seen so much darkness that they realize light is better? Ooh. Light is much better than this darkness. Well, I'll tell you this, folks. God has not changed his mind on one thing he has said. His word is yea and amen. It is still the same. He's made promises. He's going to forever keep his promises. His word has not changed. And don't you ever let anyone or anything convince you that maybe he's not going to do what he said. That is not possible. It just is not possible. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. How many laws that they try to tear down in our land, they cannot change one item or one promise out of this book. And this book and these promises belong to you and me. And we will hold them, hallelujah. Now this morning, or this afternoon at 3:30, I will go out to Wood Lake to the little blueberry farm and do a wedding. Chris and Sandra's new daughter, their baby daughter that they just adopted, is getting married. And they're so excited. And Chris is walking her down the aisle. They've never had children. And it's just heaven on earth for them. And I kept saying, well, you guys, how's it feel to have a daughter get married off? And they're just ecstatic. But as I was bringing this word together, I thought, you know, invitations went out. Not a lot, but invitations went out. And some people will go and they will attend that wedding, and others won't. They won't go. And whether you go or they go or not, it won't matter. There's still going to be a wedding. And whether I go or not, if something came up and I couldn't get out there and I didn't go, guess what? That wedding would go on with or without me. Either the people that own the place would make do, or they'd call some pastor. They know it may start a little later, but they're going to have that wedding. Whether anyone participates, the wedding goes on. And I heard the Holy Spirit talking to me about the promises of God, saying this: God has promised his church a mighty end-day harvest that we have not seen yet, and a mighty outpouring that we have not yet seen. Oh, we've seen fires and dribbles and showers, but nothing like he has promised us in these end days, end times. And he said, whether they believe it or not, and whether they come in to participate with it or not, the outpouring is still going to fall. The rain is still coming. Tell my people it's still all happening. Doesn't matter who supports it, who doesn't support it. No matter what they say, it just does not matter. Because he said the wedding is still going to go on. But when I tell you there's more pandemics than COVID, listen, the first one I'm going to give you this morning, it's more contagious than COVID. It's more dangerous than COVID. Now, COVID took some lives. But this one, when you start with these other pandemics, they can take your soul, your mind. And this one that's going on right now since 2020 and carried in as we're cruising along in 2021 is fear. A pandemic of fear. We're not going to call it an epidemic. Now, an epidemic is something that starts real fast or suddenly, and then it just goes to a certain group of people. But from what I hear, it is a pandemic that has spread all over the world. See, a pandemic goes global, just like COVID did. And people have been scared. And it has affected many, many lives. And the more they hear, the more afraid they get. And this evil, negative propaganda has been pumped into us. I know we had it. We suffered with COVID last year. Many of us had it. Many of you were hospitalized. We had three who passed. It was not a fun time, but we got ourselves up and got right back to the house of the Lord together. We have to stay together, church. We've got to have it's a corporate blessing. He has sent a corporate invitation to his church. For way out in our future, that one day we'll sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. First, there will be a wedding between us and the Lord Jesus. And then we will sit down at the marriage supper and we will have communion with him. That's a corporate invitation for all of us. But he also gives us a corporate invitation to enjoy and take all of the promises that he has given. Now, whether we receive them or not, that's up to you. And it's up to me. You can take them or you can leave them, but it doesn't change one word of this book. It's still absolutely there. So we will receive the word of the Lord, but fear is going to have to leave the people of God. Fear cannot stay in you, folks. It's contagious. It will get on your children. It will get over your mind. It will steal your mind if you're not careful. Fear will take over your family life. It will dictate to you where you go, when you go, how long you stay, and what are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to sit down and do nothing. That's what I'm going to do. That's what fear wants you to do. And then after a while, then you've got one pandemic that begins to play on another one. So you've got COVID here that started fear. And then fear, if it's kept unkept for long enough, then it begins to cause unbelief or disbelief. Now you've got more stuff going on because if God was in this thing, where is he? Why would he allow this to happen to us? Why? Sometimes, folks, let me tell you something that I have learned to experience. Just my thought, but I think sometimes the questions are easier to live with than the answer. I don't know. But it really doesn't bother me anymore about answers. All I have to know, Brother Kelly, is that God is in charge. And he will keep me. And he will protect me. And he will sustain me. And no matter what comes or goes in my life, and I've had some good things and I've had some bad things. And I have crosses to carry just like you every day. I have carried the cross. It will be 34 years this year living without my husband and daughter. 34 years of picking up that cross and carrying it. Why? I said to some godly women at lunch the other day. They were talking about losing their dad or this one or that one in their lives. And one said, I almost lost the faith, and I don't want to say anything to act like, oh, big me and little you. Or, but you know what? Why would you want to run from the only one in the world that can help you? I mean, he's the only one in the world that can help us. Why would we want to turn and run or get mad at him? I'm mad at God. So what? I'm sure he's sitting up there twiddling his thumbs. Oh, Holy Spirit, she's mad at me. He's mad at me. What am I going to do? That's just plain foolishness, folks. But when fear becomes a pandemic, then you've got unbelief. And then you've got all kinds of issues going on. So let's go and see what happened in the book of Numbers. I know this chapter's been preached a million times, inside out, upside down, all around. But I'll tell you, these people never quit preaching. The Bible tells us that these words were set here for examples for us. But God promised these sweet people. He promised them some promises. And yet they heard voices just like we've heard over the past year and a half. And it discouraged them and it caused other pandemics to come along. Do we have overhead today, Kathy? Thank you. Numbers 13, let's start at verse 27. These spies had gone into the land. God had promised them a promised land, remember, flowing with milk and honey. And they went in to look around for 40 days. And they came out with a report. Verse 27. And they told them, the people waiting, to say, what did you see in our promised land? Man, look at me, church. They were so close. They were so close to the promise of God. Now they could see it. And I believe there's a lot of people in here with me this morning that believe this. I feel it, that we are so close to the end time promises of God that we can literally see it. And Satan has come to try to steal as many people and rob them of their faith as possible. And a lot of people have been robbed of their faith. Another pandemic. Faith goes out the door when faith comes, as fear comes in. All right. So let's read verse 27. So they told him and said, we went to the land you sent us, Moses, and it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. I'm sorry, it's Numbers 13, 27. Oh, it truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. They brought out some major fruit. This is it. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in that land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The giants, verse 30. And then Caleb quieted the people, before Moses. And he said, let us go at once and take possession, for we are well able. Somebody say, well able to overcome it. Now look what the people said. But the men who have gone up with him said, we are what? Not able. We're not able to go up against that people, for they are stronger than us. And they gave the people of Israel a what? Look at their gift. We're giving you a gift. They're giving them a bad report. You and I see bad reports all day long. We hear bad reports all day long. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. The giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and that's exactly the way they saw us. And it kind of cracks you up to look at the end of verse 32. It says, it's a land that devours its inhabitants. It just gobbles them up, eats them up. Isn't that funny? We don't know what we're going to do. I mean, they just felt absolutely hopeless. Caleb said, we can. We are able, and they said, no, we are not able. He said, they're bigger than us. Caleb says, no, they're not bigger than you. Our God is bigger. They're great in stature. No, no. Yeah, they're big. Yes, they're big. Yes, they're loud. Yes, they're strong. And the voices that you and I hear today from college campuses and universities, Dr. Fauci, all the rest, give you these stories. They're big. This thing is huge. It's going to get you. You say, Pastor, but it did. But we must stand, church. You stand strong. You don't run and hide and get in a bunker in a corner and hide for the rest of our days. We're just not going to do that. Tucker Carlson talks about groupthink. I can tell you right now, I don't care what the group says out there. You and I are not going to be dictated to by what the group thinks. We're just not. The group says one thing, and God was just wanting to know, do you trust me? The Bible says, Old King James says, over in the book of the latter part of the book of Numbers, he says, I just want to know if you trust me or no. See, the wilderness, he just said, you're going back to the wilderness. The wilderness is a place. Here's what the Bible dictionary says. It's a strange place. A wilderness is a place of disappointments. A wilderness is a place of dependence. And it's a place of not knowing. And it's a place of sifting. The wilderness is not a good place, folks. It's a difficult place. It's a hard place. We don't get it. We don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you right now, you will be dependent on something. Whether it's fear or blessing, or whether it's the word of the Lord or those around you. But you are going to be dependent upon one of those things. And we do not want to be dependent upon another pandemic. Just don't want to do that. We don't want to be dependent, though. We will receive the shot. Many of you have already received the vaccine. I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying whatever we decide to do, that's your business. But that's not what we're dependent upon. We'll have to take it probably to fly and do some other things. But no, is that the mark of the beast? No, it's just like everything else. Just kind of getting everything in order for that. You know, our debit cards is a plan to get us there. I mean, it's just start. The checkbook was a long time ago. That was just a beginning. Everything has just worked toward that in the world over the years. So we're not dependent on any of it. My mother said when the smallpox vaccine came and the measles shot and the polio shot and the school kids were required to take it, nobody wanted that. They panicked. They were scared. What's this thing going to do? So every generation has had its pandemics. I mean, they've had their difficulties. They've had their wildernesses. Your marriages have their wildernesses. Amen? Your families have their wildernesses. Churches even have a wilderness. We all go through wildernesses, but it's very important that we learn from what I just read you. Look at... Let's go down to verse 14, chapter 14. Now look, these men who spied out the land came back and said, we just saw the giants. These guys were so huge. We're just like little grasshoppers. And this area, they just eat up their inhabitants. And look at chapter 14. Here's how it affected the people of God. Wait, look at me a minute. You know, these people are the same ones that saw the Red Sea open up. They're the same ones that ate the manna that fell every single day except the first day of the week. He said, gather twice as much on Saturday, on the Sabbath, on the sixth day, so on the Sabbath you don't have to work. And I'll deliver plenty. I'll deliver twice as much on Friday. So these are those same people that saw all the miracles of God. These are the ones that God brought out of Egypt. When there was a pandemic of death, this is the people who had the blood of the lamb painted over the doorpost, and they were protected. Same people. But when these people came back and said, oh, Moses, you're right. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. You're right, Moses. Look at this. Two guys. It took two of us to carry this load of grapes out here to show you how big these grapes are. Yes. Yes, yes, but those giants. See, when you start saying it to yourself, yes, Lord, I know, but. Yes, Lord, I know, but do you know how difficult this is? Yes, but I don't know. Yes, but. See, when we're called to go into another place, I think sometimes we have this bag of excuses. And we pull out this excuse that says, that's too difficult for me. Or we pull out this excuse that says, I don't have the money or the education. Or I just don't know how to get there. I have no leading to get there. So we pull out all of these excuses. But God doesn't want his people having excuses. Church, we don't need them. Did you know that? We do not need excuses. Our God. Look at 14:1. So these people, all the congregation, lifted up their voices and cried And the people wept that night. They cried all night long. God, we thought you had promised us that we were going into the promised land. We really believed you, Lord. We thought we were headed in there. But now these guys have told us it's not going to work. The giants are there. They'll take us out. Verse 2, and all the people of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. All the people complained against Moses. The other day, I've been told a few times, but I was told again the second time the other day, the same person is still complaining about me and about you for having this church open, saying that we don't care about people, all the things you can imagine. And it is people who once loved this house. Not everybody. I mean, there's people legitimately home for good reasons. So you don't throw everybody in the same pile, folks. You just don't do that. And I know that. But see, these kind of things are still happening today. They complained against Moses and the whole congregation. They're complaining against you and against me. And you know what I did? I fell on my face on the floor. And I said, Lord, you hear their voices, but that's not going to move us. It's not going to move us, Lord. It just can't. And I opened this up and I heard these voices in verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and our children should become victims? Wouldn't it be better just to go back to Egypt? Pastor, can't we just go back to normal? What's back there, folks? There's nothing good in normal. I don't ever want to go back to that normal. I don't want to go back to any normal. I want to press ahead and go into that promised land that the Lord has promised us. When God shuts the door on something, it's good and shut. Hallelujah. And they said, oh, if we'd only died, and why has God brought us to this land? And you hear the people of God. You hear it over and over. I don't understand. I don't understand. Why would God let this happen? I don't understand. I don't understand. How could the churches be shut? How could this happen? How could that happen? All I know is God said, now you go back and do your first works over, or I'll remove that candlestick out of its place. Somebody said, see, he just means go back and go back to normal. No, he doesn't. He's talking about that love relationship that we had. The one when you first got saved. The one when you first got filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. And he came in and you wanted to tell everyone. That person. Do your first works over. Come on, church. Why would we question the hand of the one who created this world and the universe, and yet he lives within our hearts? Somebody like that who knows it all. It's an amazing thing. He said, will you trust me or will you trust this system? Look at verse 5. This is where I learned what I did when I heard those accusations. Verse 5. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They just fell on their face and prayed. These guys are ready to stone them. We're going to stone you for getting us out here in this mess. You told us there was going to be a promise. You told us God promised us. And look where we are. There's giants in there, and they were ready to stone them. See, when people are weary and people get tired, as they are today, people grow tired, it causes their emotions to get all worked up. People get angry, they get mad, their emotions go wild, and they're here and they're over there and don't even know who they are. I mean, these people were, they didn't even know what was going on. They felt so hopeless. And they felt helpless. And you know what? We are helpless. That's not a bad place to be in Jesus. because he said, I am your help. I am your strength. I am the way through this thing. I'm just going to tell you this. Keep me online here. Wednesday night, I talked about Ezekiel 47. I didn't have a scripture to go with what I was going to say Wednesday night, but before I got here, the revelation the Lord gave me years ago on Ezekiel 47 came up in me. And see, Ezekiel was called by an angel out into the river, and that the angel carried him out into the waters. And he said he measured 1,000 cubits, which was about 1,500 feet. He measured 1,500 feet, and he brought me out into the waters, and the waters were up to my ankles. And what the Lord began to minister to me years ago was this. When the water in the body of Christ, water representing the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, when it's to your ankles, that means there's more of you in the flesh than there is in the water of the Spirit of the Lord. And we can't deal like that. These people, they were there, even though they had seen all the miracles of God walk through the water, they were only ankle deep, if that deep. And so their flesh, more flesh was out of the water than was in the Spirit. So it was hard for them to believe God. They would believe every word told them. They were full of fear, and they were disgruntled and hurting and messed up. But then Ezekiel said, the angel called me out, and he measured 1,500 more feet. And when I got out there, it was up to my knees. And church, let me tell you, those of you in the house that are up to your knees in the Spirit of the Lord, that means you're now praying. You're praying more now than you've ever prayed before, because the water's coming up. The water's rising up in you. It's up to his knees. And so when you get there, it's a good place to be, because now you pray about everything. Instead of worrying about it all night long or all day, you change that worry into prayer. And if we will pray as hard as we worry or as hard as we stress out, then things change. And so this morning, you're going to judge yourself. Am I only ankle deep? Is that why I'm dealing with everything the way I do? Or am I finally up to my knees? But when you come up to the loins, you come up to the waist. He said he measured 1,500 more feet, and we went out, and the waters was waist deep. Well, when you get up waist deep, when you go above the birthing channel, above the womb, that's where babies are born. That's where intimacy begins. And the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you know what? Today, these kids are going to get married. It won't be very long. They'll be talking about having babies. We want to have a child. We want to have a baby. You start thinking about having babies, having children when you get married, when you're intimate with God. When you get into the water of the Spirit up to your waist, I'll tell you, you can always tell how deep you are in the Lord when you start talking and thinking about people being saved and winning them over to the Lord and sharing your testimony and telling them what God has done for you. Then you start wanting to give birth. And when the waters, he said, the waters went up to my neck, 1,500 more feet, and I was out into waters, he said, it was so deep, I couldn't cross over it. Read it in Ezekiel chapter 47. The waters were so deep, I couldn't cross over. There were, he says, swimming waters. See, and when we are in swimming waters, that's when you stay in that water. And it doesn't matter to you what comes or what goes. You just keep swimming because you're in the deep water, baby. You're in deep, deep water of the Holy Spirit. One time a hunter taught me this in Missouri. All the men, the church, were going hunting that week. Deer hunting season had opened. And he said, those little deer can be so tricky. He says, you can follow their footprints out to the water if there's a stream of water. And he said, instinct will tell them, get so deep in that water, get out into the middle of the stream, that the enemy if it's a animal, they will lose your scent. And so the instinct says they'll lose your scent, and so get in the water, and they just keep their nose up in the water so they can breathe. Stick that little nose up so they can breathe, and they're safe until they can get on downstream and get out. See, when you're in this swimming water, everything in your life changes, church. That's where I want Landmark to be. That's where God wants us all to be. The body of Christ is in the swimming waters of the Holy Spirit. And then they said, it's better for us to go back to Egypt. Well, I pray that nobody here is ever thinking about going back to Egypt. There's nothing back there, folks. There's nothing. And then look at this. Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. I fell on my face to cry out, and people point their fingers. Why are they open? I'm thinking, why are you saying that about the church? Why are you saying that? A drunk driver killed my husband and baby. What if I stayed home and never gotten another car? We can't just stay there. And Pastor Wayne Neal is calling me, and he should be in church. Time change. We don't stay home the rest of our lives because something bad happens to us. You get up and you go on, church. Man. You know, a pastor, he died and his wife took over the church. It took her 2 years before she could go back to church. And I don't point a finger. I'm just saying he said, I want to know if you trust me or not. Do you trust me or no? Well, these men had spread such fear, it was just all over the place. And look at verse 7. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out, it's exceedingly good land. This is what Caleb and Joshua said. It's really good land. And if the Lord delights in us, verse 8, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. It's a land which flows with milk and honey. Even in the midst of all the whining, griping, complaining, this epidemic of fear, this epidemic of distrust and disbelief. They're saying it's still good land, folks. The promise is still there. It still flows with milk and honey. You can still trust the word of our God. Though they didn't have the Bible, they couldn't hold it in their lap. You can still trust him. But look at verse 9. And they pleaded with him, only do not rebel against the Lord. Nor fear the people of the land, for they are, look at this, they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Don't fear them. Do not fear them. Do not fear that. And all the congregation said to them, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. And now the glory of the tabernacle of the Lord. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Because they said, it's good land, we can have it, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. They said, no thanks. No thanks. He said, only don't rebel against him. He's the only one that can help us. And then verse 11, God speaks, and the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with the signs which I have performed among them? I've done all I'm going to do with these people. He said, they're going to die out here in the wilderness. And Moses said, oh God, if you let them do that. He said, those people are going to say, look, he brought them out of Egypt, but he couldn't take them in. Well, oh my goodness, look at verse 16. This is unbelievable. Verse 16, 14, 16, put it up, Kathy, unbelievable. Because the Lord was not able, look at that. What? Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness. Now their children got to go in. Their children went in. But he said, you have despised me. You know, he didn't say Caleb, and it's not about us folks. It's about him. It's about him. He just wants people to trust him, and all of our hearts are turned to him. I think I'll stop right there. Who have seen my... Look at verse 22. Because all of these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test now these 10 times. They have not heeded my voice. My servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him to the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow, turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. He said, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. Church, I'm going to tell you something. God is stronger than our enemies. You just read it there. In verse 9, put that up once more and we'll quit here. He said, don't rebel against the Lord. He said, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. Look at me. Could it be that the protection over people in America and around the world in this last hour, his protection has departed? I don't know. I don't know. I know that right now they still have a chance to come in. But that's where you and I come in. We are going to have to live out our testimonies. We're going to have to live our testimonies out a little bit louder or a lot and not be ashamed of who you are, where you came from, and what you've been delivered from. Because I promise you, folks, you're going to see this daily, daily, and I believe it's already started, that he will bring certain people into your path. And it will just be you and them all by yourself. He will start out a little bit with you, I believe. If he had thrown Ezekiel out into those swimming waters, the man would have drowned. So God does things a little here and a little there. Little precepts here and a little there. Some of you are so timid, you say, well, I would be too embarrassed. I would be too bashful to testify. Well, you won't be, because he will make it just you and that one person. God will look after you. He will help you. He will help you to learn. He'll take you from the knees, ankles to the knees to the waist to swimming waters. And so I'm just saying, be on ready. Because God has more confidence in his people than we have in ourselves. Stand with me, please. And church, our church is open because we got to fight from here. We got to fight together. This end time revival. You say, well, I can pray at home. Well, pray at home, but you'll miss the move of God among his people. Because it hits in the church. It's always hit inside a church where the people of God gather to worship him. Always. And I'll tell you, we're not going back. And we're not going to be moved by the mentality of people on the outside. We're just not. These people trusted in fear and discouragement and confusion. And we can't do that, church. We shall believe the report of who? The report of the Lord. We won't trust in worry and stress and all of those pandemics, but we will trust the word of the Lord. He has not brought us, the song says, he didn't bring us this far to leave us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. He didn't build his home in us to move away. He didn't pick us up to let us down. No, he didn't. He said, to whoever believes, I will give you eternal life. And that life belongs to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wonderful Jesus. We used to sing that old song growing up at the Pentecostal churches. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. I am trusting in your love, divine, because every promise in the book is mine. Debbie, you sing, I won't go back. I won't go back to the way it used to be before your presence came and found me. Let's say that. I won't go back. I can't go back
the place that I used to be before your presence came and found me.
Lord, we are not going back. We are going forward. Where that is, I have no idea. All I know is there's some promises in front of your people. You've made promises to us. You have kept us. You have delivered us. You have taken us, Lord, out of deep waters. I mean busy deep waters, Lord, and you have brought us into a desired haven. Lord, to be in a place of poverty, Lord, in love or in any kind of lack or in money, to be in that lack, a lack of peace of mind, and to come into a new place, it's a wealthy place in you. Oh, may you bring your people into that wealthy place today. Hallelujah. We give you praise.